Raise your hand if your husband went to Dad's with Shields. Willingly or unwillingly, they still went. I highly, highly encourage you to ask your husbands to come. The first time, I had to do a little more than asking. I kind of had to do the arm twist and please, please, honey, you should go. And he went. And after the first one, I didn't say a word. He just mentioned, hey, Dad's with Shields is tomorrow night. And now he goes without prompting or question. So I encourage you to ask them to come. It is a very anointed, nice time for our husbands. And it's really great for them to get a chance to plug in. October 8th, it's at Vintage 242 Church around the corner. And I encourage you to go. Now, is Mary Beth here? Stand up, sweetheart. Okay, so Justin's wife, Mary Beth, for childhood cancer, is shaving her head this Friday night. Woohoo! You are a brave, bold woman, and I love you for it. She'll be shaving her head to support the Ainsley Cochran Foundation, supporting and bringing awareness to the families who walk alongside a child with cancer. And Pizza Shack on Friday night is donating a percentage directly to the organization. So if you need a place to eat Friday night, or you don't, get takeout or go in and visit. And Pizza Shack on Cedar Crest Road Friday night, and the shaving begins at 7:30. So congratulations, and we're very excited for Mary Beth. Thank you. The next thing I wanted to talk about is the table. If you've been to the table, okay, if you have been to the table, you know how wonderful it is. If you've not been to the table, please, please, please come. It is going to be an amazing night of worship. I got a little sneak peek on who's speaking, and I'm not going to say anything yet, but ladies, you want to be there. Mark your calendars. You want to be there. Joy is on fire and crazy about this. November 8th at Riverstone Church. Please, please, you want to go. Tell all the ladies you can think of. It's not just moms. It is ladies, ladies, ladies. It's a fun ladies' night out. Grab a bite to eat beforehand. I highly recommend it. You will love it. Please, please mark your calendars. And Young Lives, thank you so much. Did you guys see the pile of stuff that was there last week? I took a picture of it. There is so many donations, and we love that. Please continue to donate. But I know donations are wonderful, and we want lots of them. But we really, really encourage you to get a group of ladies together. I got together with a couple of their girlfriends and do the sign-up genius and go and do the meals. Provide the meals. Be there in person. That's something they're really, really looking for. And I think that, and it's not a lot of work if, you know, you get two or three ladies together and share the responsibility. But I encourage you to do that, not just for them, but for you. I think it'll be a blessing. Tracy McGowan, back corner. She was over here. Tracy McGowan is at the resource table today. She has some wonderful resources for middle school parents. I am one, and I know how much we need resources. Trust me. As much help as we can get, especially with middle schoolers. So please go see Tracy. And then if any of you guys are on Instagram, Facebook, you were going to talk about it today, most of us are, just remember to share Moms with Swords. If you go on the Moms with Swords page or something pops up, just forward it and share it on your page. We just want to reach as many moms as we can so that they can come and they can experience what we get to experience every week. I know two sessions ago, one of the moms in my group was brand new. She knew not a single person in the room, and she only came because she saw a friend share something on Facebook. So I know that it gets people that we wouldn't expect. It gets people to come here, and we just really want to get the word out and get as many moms that we can get to come on in here and enjoy the word with us. Joy's going to introduce our speaker. I personally am very excited. I hope there's a podcast because my kids are all going to sit down and watch it, and my husband. I have an 11, a 13, and a 15-year-old boy. My 15-year-old did not get a phone until he started high school, and my 13-year-old thinks he is the last person on the planet at 13 that does not have a phone. So I want to hear this because I need to be encouraged and to stay strong in what we have chosen to believe in our family. But everyone is different, and I'm really excited, really, really excited, and I can't wait to share it with my family. So Joy, come on up and get us going.
Yeah, I went ahead and warned my kids. I'm like, just know we're probably going to be throwing all of our phones away after today. They're like, oh, no. I know. But you know, this one of our, Heather Beth and Laura, this will encourage you. Like, listen, I never try to say this is not a hard message at Moms with Swords, right? Like, y'all all can raise your hand and it won't hurt my feelings. Like, it's not lollipops and rainbows at Moms with Swords, is it? It's not go on your... you deserve a break today. Go in your bedroom and eat bonbons and veg out to Netflix. Like, you can do that every now and then, right? But y'all know the message at Moms with Swords is get off the sidelines and put him on the bus. Like, that's our message, right? So we... The Lord just, it's an urgent message. It's because I don't think we have time. And so, but I never want you guys to leave here in condemnation because, listen, you know that is not Jesus, right? That is not Jesus. Like, God wants us to, the Word to correct us, to rebuke us at times. That's what it's supposed to do. But it also is to give us hope, y'all. It's to give us hope to know that at any moment we start using the Word, we have the power of God behind us, and it's evoking through us what we need to do this job as mothering. So let hope just fill this room today. Like, if you've given your three-year-old a phone, if your kids have Snapchat, I don't want you to feel condemned or hopeless. Like, Laura's message is going to be a harder message. It's going to be a convicting message, but her message is that of is bathed in Jesus and of love. So we're just going ahead right now. We're renouncing, right? We're renouncing condemnation. We're renouncing lies that the enemy would tell you that you're a bad mom because you've done that. Devil, we are speaking that already out into this atmosphere. You are a liar, and you are not welcome here. So we're replacing that with hope, and may you be encouraged. I'm so excited to see so many of our young moms because I told Laura, I bet a lot of our moms with babies are be like, "This, I don't need to worry about this. I'm worried about biting and taking toys." But at some point, you're going to have to, I mean, y'all, I 2-year-olds in the restaurants with the little leap pad things, which are so cool, but it's going to apply now and it's going to apply then. So I'm so proud of y'all for coming. So I want to introduce my sweet mom. Also, let me say this really quick too. Next week, y'all, make sure you're in this room. It might be the most important message I have ever, that God has ever given me to teach. And that's just me go, like, I wrote it back in June, and I was just going over it the other day, and I'm like, I mean, I've ordered stuff on Amazon. I'm going to have some volunteers up here. Get here. Get a friend and get here. So I'm just going to leave it there. Okay, now I'm going to introduce my sweet friend, Laura. Look, y'all, see, I have to say, I really do wish deep down I had all those things after my name. Like, I'm really jealous. Like, what in the heck? What can I put after my name? Y'all got to come up with something that I can sign my name and just... HSG. High school graduate. What about... That is true, yes. LTL, loves the Lord. SJ, serves Jesus. I could do that. I'm going to do that. Y'all get an email from me, I'm going to have all these things beside my name. Oh, but I am really, I love smart people, y'all. I love smart people. I love to be around smart people. And my friend Laura is a smart person. And she came, y'all. She lives in, like, near Charlotte. I know, the hurricane. Like, and Laura, you have to tell them the story. Because I kind of told them last week, like, how you've been on the radar to come speak. And I was like, can you come speak? And you're like, of course I can. And then the Lord made a way that you already needed to be here. And so it's just so cool how when the Lord, y'all, again, it's so cool how the Lord, that's why you got to be here, because it's not any of us up here on this team operating. It's Jesus. So he's got a word for you. So be encouraged that my friend Laura, she said, just to say, she is a counselor, licensed, nationally certified as a counselor, but she prefers to direct people biblically and help them to live by God's design for them. A lot of brain research alongside Bible study has shown her detail that God knows exactly how we operate best. A few years ago, he was very specifically pointing her and pointing out the dangers of our dependence on technology, especially this is a smart word. I don't even know how to say that. Something UBIQUITO. See, that's why I don't have letters by my name. Look at y'all, smart people already knew that. Ubiquitousness of cell phones and the effect on our brains. See, y'all, just let me just, that's why the Holy Spirit is my teacher. I feel that she has an assignment. I love that, Laura. She has an assignment to share that understanding, but honestly, she never loves the idea of the stage. So, y'all, will y'all please make welcome my sweet, smart, amazingly anointed friend, Laura Layton.
Ubiquitous. Ubiquitous. Yeah. It's like all over, you know? It's like we can't get away from it. I don't know that I like this, because I'm a midget. Even though I have on big shoes, I'm a midget. So I don't like being up here, but I love seeing all your faces, and I love that you're here. And I kind of wish you guys were over this way more, but if you're cozy, I'm okay with that, too. I do feel like it's an assignment, but it's not one that I've been real happy about. As a counselor, I really, really like to make everybody feel good. I want to make you feel better. I want to see people whole and healed and just made the exact way that Jesus sees them and wants them to live. So it's really hard that God would impress a hard message on me. Because I'm so thankful for what Joy said, because it's not about filling you with guilt or condemnation, because I guarantee you I'm going to say some things that are going to hurt your feelings. And that's not because Laura Layton wants to, that's because the Lord Jesus who loves you wants you to hear some things to help you, okay, and to help your kids. What happened was a few years ago, I was reading in Ezekiel, and a scripture in, I think it was Ezekiel 13, 14, kind of just really jumped off the page at me, and it said, "Son of man, these people have set up idols in their heart, and they carry wicked stumbling blocks before their faces." And man, it was as if one of these things just jumped out of my Bible and said, "Hello, this is what I'm talking about today." And I couldn't get past it, and I kept thinking about it. I'm like, God, what am I supposed to be doing with this? Like, and so when I don't know what to do about something, I research. It's my cozy spot. It's probably an idol to me in a sense, is research, because it makes me feel like I have a little more control when I can understand something. So I invite you to do your own research. I'm just going to share a little bit of mine. If I tried to share it all with you, we'd be here until the storm came in. So we're not going to cover all of it. I'd like to give you a little bit of time for some question and answers. Hopefully, I'll be able to do that. Time management's not my thing, so somebody's going to wave at me. And I don't know. Do I have slides? If we could probably go ahead and put up the first slide, because the thing that God started showing me was that we're really becoming enslaved to these things. Do you know what? I have to stop and pray. Can I do that? As if you guys are going to tell me no. And I'm going to look all goofy because I need to pray like this. Father God, you know the hearts of every woman here, and you know what's going on in her individual circumstance. You know this is hard for us to hear, because it's calling us to be really different, and it's calling us to really step apart from conforming to the way of the world. And Lord, you know what we're made of, and you know that that's hard. But by your grace, you fill us with your Holy Spirit and enable us to do hard things. So, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would just speak through me, that every woman in this world, in this room, would have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to receive what you have for them individually, and it may be different for each one. And then, Lord, that you would empower us to make a difference in our own lives and our families, and our communities, that we might be the light that you call us to be in a place that seems to be increasingly dark. I thank you for your love and your direction. And we trust and love you. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, that feels better. So, a lot of scriptures have spoken to me a lot over the times in preparing for this. And I'll tell you what happens to me when I start preparing to give a message. I start trying to narrow it down. Like, how do I break it into a period of time that I could possibly keep your attention? And then what happens to me is I wind up adding more and more and more. And there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this research, and there's this scripture, and there's this, and they go together. So by just putting a few slides together, I'm hoping to stay on track with where I felt like God put me in the first place. And we're just going to keep praying that that it's his message, okay? Here's one that stuck out to me, that we need to come to our senses and escape from the trap of the devil who's taken us captive to do his will. And, you know, for those of you who have phones, hopefully you've put them away, but you can either look at it or picture it. I have an Android, so it doesn't apply. But if you just look at the back of your phone, what do a lot of you see if you have an iPhone? An apple with a bite out of it. And I think so much of this is right in our face, and somehow we've become so blind to it. Our senses are so dulled because we've just, maybe you've heard the story of the frog in a pot, and it's just like the water starts slowly heating up, and the frog's like, oh, I'm in a hot tub. And then before you know it, the frog is boiled to death, and he's never known that he should be jumping out of the pot. And I'm afraid that that's what's happening to us, because our culture has just sort of snuck all this up on us. And it seems normal. It seems normal to be distracted all the time. It seems normal to give these devices with internet access to things that they should never see, to our small children. It seems normal. In fact, you seem really abnormal if you're not doing it. And I have to tell you, the enemy masquerades as an angel of light. He's not walking around with a pitchfork. He's walking around looking like something good. So this isn't about bashing technology, because there is some great uses of technology, right? And we know that ultimately what the enemy means for good, for evil, God will use for good. But I truly believe that we're facing the enemy in a way we never have before, and in a way that we, even as believers, are being blinded. You know, the Israelites believed in God. They saw him, like, they saw a pillar of fire, and they saw a pillar of smoke, and they were following, but they still continually got wrapped up in their own stuff and got wrapped up in the things going on around them. And we're doing the same thing. I was really drawn to Hebrews last week and talking about the warnings from Israel. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of it doesn't mesh with the Jesus the way I know him. And the thing is, there's a paradox about Jesus. And I don't have a full grasp of it yet, so I'm not going to tell you I do. We're in the year of the Lord's favor, but there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day for the whole world, and there's going to be a day for us individually. That we just have a choice to make. And so I'm going to ask you today to not harden your heart if you hear his voice. We can go to the next slide. The WALL-E movie. Raise your hand if you've seen the WALL-E movie. It terrifies me. The WALL-E movie terrifies me. I think it's prophecy. I think we're designing things that only last for a minute, and then we're throwing them away, and we're trashing the earth. And we're trashing our individuality and our souls. And in this movie, they so trash the earth that they have to go live somewhere else. And at this point, they've so changed themselves based on their decisions and their choices that they barely even have arms and legs because they don't need to go anywhere. Everything's here. And until the screen goes down, they don't even realize when they're sitting next to a pool or anything going on around them. They can just follow these little tracks around and everything is just constantly entertaining their brains. You know, it makes me think there's this book called Entertained to Death. I think that's what it's called. And that's what's happening to us. We're being entertained to death. And it's time that we wake up. These people aren't awake in this movie. They're not awake. They're in some kind of weird world that I don't think any of us want to live in. One of the scriptures that really spoke to me, too, was that the people, they sow to the wind and they reap the whirlwind. And, well, that might actually be on a different slide, but we're reaping something that's not what God has intended for us. How many of you are finding it that it's just even harder to pray over the last couple of years? Can I see your hands if you do? Because I need to know if it's not just me. So what you need to know, oh, there it is. what you need to know is that you're literally changing your brain, and that's why. Yesterday I was speaking to the kids at one of the local high schools, and I wasn't sure how I was going to open. And they sang a song right before I went up, and the song was The Voice of Truth. And I'm like, man, thank you, God, because I didn't know how to open. And they play this song, and I'm like, of all the voices calling out to you or calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. And you guys, we have to make a choice. This culture is sucking us along. It's pushing us along. And we, like sheep, are being led astray. And not only are we being led astray, but we're toting our kids right along with us. Your kids' brains are being developed right now. And I don't know how much you guys know about neurology, and I don't want to bore you with too much detail, but there's a reason that Paul said to focus on what is good and excellent and praiseworthy. Because what you focus on wires up your brain towards that thing. There is a reason that we are supposed to worship God alone. We're designed to worship. Anything else that we worship is not going to allow us to be what we're created to be, because we become like the thing that we worship. You see it all throughout the prophets, that they will become like the idols that they worship. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be empty and soulless. I really thought about that. What are we racing towards? Why does everything have to be growing so fast? We're not designed for this. So who's behind it? Is it God behind it? I mean, ultimately, he's sovereign, right? But he's let the prince of this world have some freedoms. And he's convinced us the lies, the deceitfulness of sin, the deceitfulness that we don't have to be human. We can rise above. We can control our own destinies. It's not reaping us the fruit of the Spirit. We're not experiencing the love, the joy, the peace. How many of you feel like you're just pulled in different directions all the time? And again, I need a show of hands because I need to know I'm not alone. Thank you. You know, the definition of anxiety is pulled in different directions. God doesn't give us that. That's Satan. And you need to know that. If he can keep you pulled in different directions and distracted, you're never going to walk in his way. You're never going to experience the abundant life that Jesus came for you and for your children to have. Let's go to the next slide. Ooh, my favorite. I love a picture of the brain. Here's something that you really, really need to know for yourselves and your kids. We're designed in a way that we're supposed to be in awe of God. What's supposed to happen when you see an amazing sunset or a new baby or, I don't know, a puppy, I like puppies, you know, is supposed to be a sense of like, oh, man, God is awesome. And dopamine will go off in your brain. And that's your natural reward system, that God's like, oh, see what happens when you're amazed by me? Like, I will light up your brain. It'll be like you're on heroin. Which obviously we don't want to be on heroin, right? That's a given. I don't need to stress that. Well, I'll tell you that they've done research on people with technology addictions and found out that their brains look more like this one down here, the brain of a cocaine user. And let me just tell you a little bit of why that happens. Your brain is going to release dopamine whenever you see something new and interesting. This is kind of how addictions happen, okay? Everything that's new and interesting is going to create a hit of dopamine. Well, we are prone to become addicted to anything that feels good, including our own dopamine. So what happens with social media is every time you look at this, in fact, every time that it notifies you, if you have your notifications turned on, your brain hit little hit of dopamine because it's implying that, ooh, something good might be happening. It doesn't even have to be a good thing. It's just the idea that something good might be happening will release some dopamine. So can you imagine how much dopamine our kids are getting every day, that we're getting every day with all the technology around us? Now let's introduce the constantly changing screens that we have when we scroll through social media. Dopamine, 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 dopamine. We're designed for rest, and a lot of us have come to believe that this is rest. I'm going to kick back on my couch, and I'm going to scroll. And I'm going to tell you right now, and you need to tell your children, that is not rest. Your brain is still producing dopamine and cortisol, which is a stress hormone, neither of which you should be experiencing during rest. These are changing your brains, and they're changing the brains of your children. At some point, your brain says, you know, I'm not really responding so much to this anymore, so now I need more of it. I got to introduce pornography right here, because in counseling, I've seen countless people that's one of the big addictions now, because we carry it in our pocket. It's easy access. Growing number of women, so it's not just a man's thing anymore. And teenage boys are handicapped. If you have a teenage boy, don't ask him if he's looking at pornography. Ask him, to what extent is pornography affecting you? Because studies show that the average age a child is first seeing pornography now. A few years ago when I gave this talk, it was 9. Do you know what it is now? 5. Pornography does something very unique in your brain. It's a very strong dopamine hit. But then it's tied to shame, because there's something hardwired in us, because God has written his law in our hearts that knows that there's something wrong with it. And a cycle of dopamine plus shame is a formula for a dark addiction that can capture you and hold you in bondage for a lifetime. And it's not just pornography. We can become addicted to all kinds of things. Virtual reality scares me so much, because there's already a whole generation of young boys who the only way they get dopamine is to play a video game. And I know I'm speaking to some of you right now who have young boys who that's their favorite thing to do, likely even some of your husbands. And that's a hard place. And I hope that's one of the things that you'll talk about when you break into your small groups. Because when it's your husband, it's really, really hard to get him on board with how you're going to protect your kids. And I feel for you, and I just pray that God gives you the wisdom to deal with that. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that changes our heart. And I pray that he's just pouring it out on you ladies, and that he's going to pour it out on your families. Because only by the power of the Holy Spirit are you going to be able to escape this trap, this ubiquitous thing that's all around us. Kind of all around. It's sort of just seeping in. It's just, golly, now you know what? Here's what happens in my brain. I'm like, oh gosh, am I using it quickly? So let's don't look at our dictionaries to find out. Remember all those letters behind my name? Let's just go with that. So here's the thing that we're finding is if you don't make enough dopamine, you're depressed. You're having anxiety. And eventually you start to get kind of hopeless. If the only place that you're going to get a dopamine hit is by going to your technology, then you're never going to have enough. Like any addiction, it's a bottomless pit that will never, ever satisfy. There's one person that satisfies that place of craving in us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who will fill you with living water that will not run out. But the devil has us convinced that we can build our own broken cisterns that can't hold water, and he keeps sending us back to them. You have to know that that's Satan. The Holy Spirit's a funny little... Forgive me, Lord. I almost called him a funny little guy, and that's so wrong. That's so not appreciating his holiness and his... But I don't know. I've found him that the way he operates is he whispers, right? Like he gives you that little nudge that, oh, don't do this. Turn to the right, not to the left. You need to have this conversation. You don't need to ignore that. But we can quench him by not listening. And eventually, we can shut him out so much that we just stop hearing him altogether. And that's what I'm afraid of for us. That's what I'm afraid of for our children. I told the kids yesterday at the high school, I said, I think you're the first generation that is going to truly have to choose Jesus very purposefully in order to not be swept along and just follow that train of the devil's hypnosis. We have to be purposeful. And we have to teach our kids to be purposeful. So let's see. Okay, dopamine. This really is sad. I mean, I want you to get a visual of this because this, when your brain looks like this of a cocaine user, it takes a long time to get it back to normal. You can get it back to normal. And with God's help and the Holy Spirit in you, you can be bright again and experiencing the world your way you're supposed to. But you have to train your brain and retrain your brain. You have to no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to get it back where it's supposed to be. Because I guarantee you, most of us are somewhere in between. If you don't take the time to learn how to quiet your mind, God bless you, to learn how to quiet your mind, to learn how to just sit and breathe and count on God and look at the sky and look at the trees. Why do we have so many different kinds of trees, different kind of birds, different kind of butterflies, different? Why do we have bugs that look like they could be jewelry? You know, God's awesome, and we lose that. And when we introduce our kids to things that give them a lot of awe and excitement, how are we going to ever expect them to find the awe and excitement in God, in their Creator? People are really creative about what they create on here. And that's enough to entertain them. And guess what? They don't even have to go outside. But we're made to go outside. And we're made to see him in all of creation. And in Romans, we're told that the people's minds are darkened when they don't appreciate that. And that all of God's wisdom is on display. But because we choose our own selfish desires, that our minds are darkened and our understanding is darkened. So we have to choose. We have to choose to look at God. We have to choose to focus on what's good and excellent and praiseworthy. It's not a natural thing, and we're living in a world that's making it actually look like it's really unnatural. When Joy told me that your kind of message series was about standing out or being different or not having to do what all your neighbors are doing, that's what I'm really asking you to do today. Be willing to do something different. Be willing to be the person that hasn't given your kid a phone yet. And guess what? If you've given it to them, again, this isn't condemnation, but I want to encourage you as a mom, you're the parent. You are the parent. Did anybody tell you this lately? Did anybody tell you you have authority and power as a parent? That God gives you authority and power as a parent to lead your child in the way that is best for them? If you don't know that you have that, then you need to get with Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to convince you that you have authority and power. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. You have a responsibility as a parent to protect your kids from being darkened in their understanding of God. Okay, let's do the next slide. Here's something that I would see a lot in counseling. Parents would tell me that, well, I try to tell him, you know, that he needs to not use it as much. Or we try to, you know, put boundaries on it, but then they get really unhappy, so we wind up letting them use it anyway. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I struggle with this with my own teenage son. He didn't get a phone until he entered high school, and he's heard me for years, so he knows all this. But he can't help it, because the part of his brain that can think something through is not as developed as the part of his brain that responds to stimulus and responds to emotion. And you need to know this about your kids, because you cannot put the responsibility for guarding their own hearts into their hands until they have a little bit of a cognition about what that even, mental wiring in order to be even able to do that. Thank you. That is an amen. But we don't. We want them to be happy, and of course we want them to be happy. But you know, God wants us to be happy, but not as much as he wants us to be holy and whole, because with holy and whole comes a way better happiness and joy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just like we love our kids and we want to see them do well, that means discipline though, right? And the Lord disciplines the ones that he loves. And we need to know that love. You know what? I told my husband, I said, I do not understand why God would give me a message to share that hurts to hear. Because I'm a healer person. I want to see people not hurt. And he said, my sweet husband said, maybe it's because you're a love person that you have to be the one to give that message. I was like, wow, okay. That helped me be obedient. I like to see my kid happy. I don't like him to be unhappy with me. I don't like him to feel like I'm being a harsh mom. I don't like to feel like you're the only mom that is doing that. But that's what God is calling me to do, and that's what God is calling you to do. Because your child would be just as happy if you were giving them cocaine. If you wanted your 2-year-old to be quiet during dinner, you could give him a Xanax. Are we doing that? Surely nobody's doing that, right? That would be bad, just so you know. That would be a bad thing to do. But I get it. Listen, I get it when you're a young mom and you're busy and you just need a minute. But I pray that at that moment you would pray that the Holy Spirit would strengthen you in love and that you would ask him to set your priorities in line, because chances are the thing that's pulling you in different directions and making you feel frazzled with your children has less to do with your children than it does with your own state of mind and where your own heart is. So I'm asking you to seek first the kingdom, receive the Spirit, get his help, be filled with the peace and love, and then turn back to your children and say, I'm sorry, I was too distracted to pay attention to what you needed. And say, I'm sorry, I was too distracted. I'm thinking that little ones, but with your big ones too. I'm sorry, I was too caught up in this to realize that this is unhealthy for you. I'd like to say that my kid is a good kid, but because the only way I allowed him to have Instagram, we just moved, so I'm like, oh my gosh, the kid already has no friends. He's an introvert. He doesn't make friends easily, and I struggled with this, you guys, but I let him get Instagram because that's how they communicate, and this is a hard line, and each one of you just individually has to figure this out with God. I'm still doing it in my own family. Recently, I had a talk with him, and I said, we need to talk about Instagram again, because the only way he could have it was for me to have access to it. And I'm looking, and these things aren't bad per se that I'm seeing come across his feed with the different, you know, things that he follows. They're not bad, but they're not good and excellent and praiseworthy either. And you become like the things you focus on most. And he's still developing, and his character's developing, and his brain is developing. And I told him, I said, I feel like the influences that are coming at you are so much that the hour in church and the hour in youth group and the 10 minutes of conversations that we have throughout the week are nothing in comparison to the influx of all of this divisiveness and, you know, things that maybe aren't really bad but aren't good. And you have to think about that, because you become like what you focus on, and your kids become like what they focus on. And who wants their kid to become like, I don't know, a shooter in a video game? There's a slide that I left out, and it's a virtual reality gun. And it has a place where you put your cell phone in the gun, and then it looks like things are going on around you that you're shooting at. And it's controversial whether video games cause more aggression and that they're at the root of some of the shootings that we've seen, but I'll tell you, I'm 100% convinced that they are. Because you develop a callousness towards these things that are around you all the time. And in Hebrews, it says we need to encourage each other daily because of sin's deceitfulness. Sin's deceitfulness is sneaky. That's what deceit is. It's not an outright lie that you're aware of is a lie. It's deceitful. It's sneaky. Everybody's playing the video games. If you're pointing an actual gun item at and shooting people, your brain does not necessarily recognize, especially if you're young, that there's a real difference going on. We already have studies showing that college students, over the last 10 years, their empathy levels, and that's the ability to connect with someone else and feel for someone else and have compassion and all those things that Jesus wants us to have, their empathy levels have decreased 40% in 10 years. These are big studies. They do it at various colleges to compile that. If you don't have empathy, you're not really seeing other people as people. They're just kind of part of your you know, stuff that's around you, but they're not really human beings with their own lives and their own purposes and their own designed by God and their own purpose in the kingdom. They're just sort of periphery to your life. And I'm afraid that our kids are being wired up in such a way that that's how they're looking at people. I think the more we get into virtual reality, Jesus is just going to have to come back. I said in one of the other slides, we've created the Tower of Babel again. It was an image that God gave me as like, oh, my word. Now we even have, you know, software called Babel, which isn't a bad thing. It teaches you about another language or helps you do another language. But kind of like the apple with the bite out of it on the phone, like, how are we ignoring these things? Why did they even name it that? Is it a joke? Are they trying to poke us in the eye and see if we're even paying attention? The fact that these things are like so right in front of us and we're not acknowledging them, that's scary. That just shows us how much we've been already warmed up in the pot, like the frog being boiled to death and not noticed it. You see that this part of the brain that really has that ability to make good long-term decisions isn't developed till the 20s. We're giving decisions to our kids, young kids, that they can't make. And we can't be afraid to be the parents and to make those decisions for them. Okay? There's a thing that they say in neurology that's what wires together, or what fires together, wires together. And that means that when you're, if I'm having a dopamine release, when I'm seeing Instagram or whatever it is, then my brain is wiring up in such a way that it's looking for that, okay? If I'm having some awe at the beauty of God, then my brain's wiring up that way. When you look at science and compare it to the Bible, God knows exactly how we operate the best. He made us, and he knows how we work. I love, love, love. There's an old book called None of These Diseases. Has anybody read that? No. It's an old book called None of These Diseases, and it talked about how the Israelites did not have the diseases of the people around them. The Egyptians were getting diseases that the Israelites didn't have. And as historians have gone back and looked, they have found that it was the practices that the Israelites did because God told them to, not because they had any idea what a germ was, but because God told them to, they went outside the camp and brought a spade to bury their poop. They separated their sick people and quarantined them so they didn't get everybody else sick. They washed their hands a lot through all these different kind of, you know, ritual things. All of these things were God's way of protecting his people because they didn't know what a germ was. They just did it out of obedience. Well, guess what we're finding out now? In secular science, we're finding out that people who hold on to unforgiveness have more heart problems. We're finding out that people who live a more joyful life, have more connections, live longer. There are health reasons for focusing on what's good and excellent and praiseworthy, that we don't quite understand all of it yet, but it's what our brains are made to do. And we have to get our kids to understand this. God has not ever set out rules to suck away our fun. It has always been to protect us from the evil around us. And we have to make sure our kids know that, that this comes from love. And that Satan has always had a plan to make everything around us seem better than what God had. Because guess what? God's plans take a little longer to see. And Satan's are instant. You get the result instantly. And so because of that, we have a whole culture of people that live on instant gratification. We have a whole ton of kids that go to college now and they can't cope at all because they don't know how to stay in something hard. We have to teach our kids these things. We have to teach them how to do hard things and stay in hard things and be different from the crowd if we don't teach them those things while their brains are wiring up, it's going to be a whole lot harder for them to learn it later. So you have this responsibility, and it's big. And there's something that really has stuck with me, is that you've got to be unified, right? Jesus said that his people would be known by their unity. And even in the church, and even in groups like this, we see so much divisiveness. And that's Satan. It's okay to have a little bit of a different theology here or there or whatever on the things that aren't as crucial. We don't have to fight over it. Love covers a multitude of sins, and we have to love each other. Don't be jealous of the gift that your sister has, because guess what? The gift that she has is for you to enjoy, not for you to be jealous of. And the gift that you have is for her to enjoy, not for you to boast about. We're a community. We're a body of Christ. And if we don't come together, I don't know, guys. I'm afraid. Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom. I'm going to tell you that's not the Jesus I know. So I have a hard time with understanding it. But I have to tell you also that it's in black and white. It's not. It's in red because Jesus said it. And I always pay extra attention to the red words. I'm going to read you one other thing that stuck out that he said. We've heard a lot about in the latter days that people will turn away. And in Matthew 24, I take a lot of notes in my Bible, and they sometimes fall out all over the floor. Anyone who knows me knows organization is not my thing. All right. This is in Matthew 24, and Jesus said, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Did we just talk about empathy levels going down 40% in the last 10 years? I'm afraid the love of most is growing cold. Pay extra attention to the red words. Some of you might have seen, if you haven't seen, I'm going to encourage you to Google this, okay? Or YouTube this. Even though that goes contrary to kind of my whole message. There was an episode on CNBC. It's come out in a lot of places, but you can find it on YouTube if you put in, like, tech companies, regrets. Put in, like, tech companies regrets or something like that. You'll find it on YouTube, but they're confessing. There's some of these tech giants are confessing. Now, you know Steve Jobs didn't let his kids have the iPhone? That should tell us something, right? They knew that something was going on with this. There's a partnership going on. They're now seeking and consulting with neuroscientists as they design softwares to purposely hijack all of our attention, thereby hijacking our brains. That there's a lot of manipulation of our behavior that goes on, because again, you become like the thing that you're focusing on. And then, man, this thing just keeps coming to me that we are slaves to the one we obey. You do not have to answer every little notification. You do not have to reply to every person's post. That becomes bondage. I want to give you a chance to ask some questions, because I'm sure that you have some. And so I think that in this last, like, 15 minutes or so, if we could maybe take some questions, I hope I've made it clear that it's really important to protect your kids. It's really important to guard their hearts and teach them the truth, because nothing around them is teaching them the truth. And it's up to you. It's your responsibility. And you have choices to make, and they're hard choices. So let's, you want to, like, anybody want to volunteer with some questions? And yes. Okay, that's a good question. What's a healthy amount of technology? And you know, honestly, I think that's going to be different. I'm going to tell you something that you're also not going to want to hear. I'm just the bearer of great news today. Kids with ADD love video games so much because ADD is already a lack of dopamine in the brain. Part of it, that's part of what ADD is. So they're getting a whole lot of stimulation, okay? Which they need. But if we're giving it to them through video games that are addictive, it becomes the only way they know how to get it, and they don't learn how to cope with their, whether it's a disability or not, I believe depends on the child. I believe there are people who are born with ADD, and I believe epigenetics is a whole other fun thing. Maybe we can talk about that sometime because it's so fun. But our brains are really being changed, and then we do pass that down. So there is a rise of ADD for that, but there's also a rise of ADD because we have a new type of ADD that's a technology-induced ADD. And when people come to me and are asking me, do I put my child on medicine, I say there's a place for medicine. But my encouragement would be first take your child off all technology for 4 weeks. Before you put them on a very strong drug, take them off technology for 4 weeks and see how they do. And if you can take them off technology for 4 weeks and you still are, then absolutely consult with your doctor, and I think there's a place for medicine. I know that's not exactly your question. You said how much time is, but I just felt like that needed to come out. How much time is going to depend on your family? I'll tell you, when my son was little, it was, it had to be balanced, right? So if you read a book for an hour, then you could watch TV for an hour. If you, you know, and so I think you just have to vet that out individually in your houses to see. And here's, I'm going to tell you this, they don't know what else to do with themselves. And you're going to have to help them figure out other things to do with themselves, which means you're going to have to figure out other things to do with yourself and what things have to be put away. You're going to have to prioritize in order for this to work. In order to make any change here, you're going to have to really look at your own priorities and decide, I'm going to spend the time teaching my kid how to enjoy whatever based on who your kid is. Okay, yes.
I hate to say that the devil works through a lot of our systems, but he does. And so the question of those of you who couldn't hear it, well, what do we do when the school is asking them to have a phone? And that's why I gave my son, well, the move in high school, that was kind of why we gave our son a phone. I'll tell you what, I want to give a little props to the York County School District up where I live now, because they are huge about not allowing technology in the schools. The kids are not allowed to have their phones out at all during school hours. I am so thankful for that. You guys aren't in that same boat, but I'm going to ask you to still stick to your guns, and you can talk to teachers, and you can say, I'm sorry, my child doesn't have a phone. And those the school, if they need your child to have it, they have to provide it. That's the way that that's the way the school system works. If they're going to require something, they have to provide it for those who don't have it. So don't let your child sway you with that, because when my son tried that, he could absolutely use like a pad or whatever they had extra at school. And that's what he did. He was one of two kids in middle school that had to do that. And I also would say this. Man, if you guys could band together and storm the schools with this stuff. There's amazing research about how it's not helping the kids in school. It's not. So don't let them fool you. Yes. I know. And what you said about the colleges noticing,
Colleges have had to put in huge extra resources for mental health because kids are having total breakdowns. That's kind of another topic, but yes, the research is showing that they're not retaining anything. And here's the thing: your brain is not stupid. It's easily led astray, but it's not. It's looking for what's most efficient. That's how our brains are. What's most efficient? And so, if your brain is learning that I can look at this at any time, then guess what? It's going to prune away all the wiring that says I need to take this and put this somewhere and learn how to work with it. And it's pruning that away. You're losing the actual ability to think deeply. It's crazy, crazy. Okay, I saw joy for you. So you guys are right there. We'll do. I'm going to tell you that I do what you do. I believe if we're watching a movie as a family, we're talking about the movie, we're discussing what we see together. It's something we can all kind of just lay in the basement and do together. I do that. If I'm going to be really, really, really truthful to what I believe, I think that all of this started a long time ago. Our inability to come up with other things to do. That's hard for me to say because that's super convicting to me myself. And I think there's absolutely a place for that. I'm not asking everybody, I'm not saying we all need to go out and you ditch all that. You know what I mean? There's a place for it. And the difference in the amount of YouTube is very stimulating, whereas like a movie is not. And what's interesting is I have found in 1 year of having social media, my son is less inclined to pay as much attention to a movie. In 1 year of having that. And that's just personal experience, and I see it all around. Your brain gets used to the fast, fast, fast. And we used to have natural cutoffs, you know. If you were watching a TV show, there was a natural cutoff. That thing ended in 30 minutes, and you had to wait a week to see the next one. We don't have those built in anymore. And so it's one of the ways that the neuroscientists partnering with the technology has said, we can get another 30 minutes of their attention if we just let the next one, or we might be able to get another 3 hours of their attention if we can get them on a binge watch, you know? So that's a purposeful design to cut off those stop points. How many of you have ever been watching a show and then it's like, the next one starts in 9 seconds? And so you're like, well, I guess I'll watch another one. That's a purposeful design to capture more of your time and attention. So I don't know if that answers your question, because I'm not going to have all the answers. I just have what God laid in my heart, and I'm working on it too. Okay, go ahead. What was your? Absolutely. And as they grow, you got to give them a little more space to make their own mistakes, make their own decisions. But they need, you know, so the younger they are, the more that discipline looks like boundaries. And then the older they get, the more it looks like consequences for actions, and you know, so, but you're right, if we don't teach them the discipline, they're going to be led all over the place.